Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And if it is the third Tuesday of the month from 2 to 3 and then 3 to 4, it must be the Divorce Show starring Dr. Sharon, and that's Dr. Sharon Van Lentz. Dr. Sharon, how are you?
I'm great, Dave. It's great to be here.
It's always nice to see you because you have so much you help so many people, and that's what the world's about, is how many people can you help, and can you really get them on the right path to have a great quality life?
Well, I do my best.
Yes, you do.
I think I do a pretty good job.
I think you do, too, because I've heard your insights for a while now on the show.
Six months. This is our six-month anniversary.
This is very exciting. We should have champagne.
Go out for dinner.
Yeah, let's go for dinner. And then, Tommy, bring in what's it called? The orange juice and champagne. What is that called?
Mimosa.
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 Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Anyway, but your insights have been great.
Thank you.
And people need to really pay attention because you have people really, well, I'll say it this way. They complain. Maybe it's not intentional. But maybe they do more complaining than healing.
Well, sometimes they do before they come in, but I try to change them to more positive people,
yeah.
And I have most of my people doing affirmations, so they won't be doing that long if they come to see me.
Well, if they come to see you, exactly.
Right.
But I think a lot of people just sit there, and they don't make that move for improvement.
They vegetate, and that's a real problem. People wait for 10 years, 20 years to come in, you know, with a bad marriage or, you know, being depressed or whatever. And it's just really sad that people don't think more of their lives to come in sooner.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate for whatever reason that happens. But today's a great topic because it seems to be everywhere, which is really unfortunate. The topic is surviving infidelity.
Yes, surviving infidelity.
Oh, my. So I don't know. This is a sad situation where people are breaching trust
and faith
and going out with people that probably for a variety of reasons, which maybe we'll find out what they are.
Yes, we will.
So let's start with, again, this is a divorce show. It's really about healing and preventing divorce. It's not about promoting at all. Sometimes you have to, but it's really, let's try the healing way first, because there's so many things involved in a divorce, and especially kids and their emotional well-being. So how does, where do you want to start? Like, how does, or do you want to define what an affair is? Because sometimes it could be mental.
Well, I'm going to go over the details in that in our discussion today, but I mean, there's mental and emotional affairs versus sexual affairs. Certainly there's a difference there. But a lot of the material today comes from a really good book that I would recommend to anybody that's surviving an unfaithful spouse. It's called Surviving Infidelity, Making Decisions, Recovering from the Pain. And it's by Dr. Gloria Harris and Rona Subotnick, Subotnick. It's kind of an unusual spelling. But you probably are wondering how an affair gets started in the first place.
Yes.
And, well, surveys show that 45 to 50% of men and 25% of women have affairs. And for women, there's an indication that rates may actually be increasing. And that's kind of surprising, I think, to most people. But other reports show that in therapy, 55% of couples deal with infidelity issues, and that's usually when they initiate marriage or couples counseling. Affairs often play a big role in the dissolution of a marriage. However, more and more couples are staying together after affairs, and they're working on repairing the relationship. And that's actually been shown statistically. I don't remember the exact statistics, but I think there's at least 30% more couples are staying together after affairs than was true 25 years ago.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I think that's a positive move in the right direction. So there's several stages of affairs, and affairs fall on a kind of a continuum. In the first stage, there is little emotional investment in the outside relationship. That might be a one- or two-night stand. And some spouses have a series of flings with one- or two-night stands where there's really not an emotional investment in the other person. And then further along that continuum, there are romantic love affairs with a high degree of emotional investment. And then more at the extreme end are long-term affairs, which last for many years. Some, you know, times they go on for years, or they, you know, they may just meet three or four times a year.
That would be like that movie, Same Time Next Year. Remember
I was trying
that?
To think of the name of the movie, but
one
I'm
of my
glad
favorite
you did.
Movies, by the way,
is
not
it?
Because they had an affair, obviously, yeah. but the whole. Well, that's a different story. But, the movie was great in terms of the chronological order and how they both changed.
I like that, too.
Yeah.
And then there are emotional affairs without actual touching that may be carried out on Facebook or on any one of the social medias that we have today, the thousands of websites where... a lot of men, I've seen quite a few come into therapy, or the couple comes into therapy where the man has gotten involved in pornography. And this is even happening at record rates in Christian marriages. I think Joyce Myers said like 65% of Christians were involved in pornography. And I just found that hard to believe.
Wow, that is hard to believe.
I found it hard to believe, but that's what she said. But there are also relationships that start out innocently enough with no intention on the front end of having an affair that over time lead to more and more emotional investment, even if they never cross the line into a sexual affair. It might start out with, you know, meeting for coffee on a regular basis. And the effect of all of these is to distance emotionally from the marriage partner. And so you might wonder, how does this happen? Well, it happens over time, and Harris and Subotnick discuss actually four stages. The talking stage is stage one, where the two share intimate details about their life. And this eventually leads to a close emotional bond. The more meetings at Starbucks, the more, you know, meetings wherever they're meeting, the closer they become over sharing the intimate details of their life. And then stage two is the secrecy stage, whereas, you know, a stage one relationship you might be willing to tell your spouse about. But at stage two, it becomes secret, and you don't want to tell your spouse about it. And secrecy is the major factor that differentiates the friend in kind of stage one from the stage two. And the friendship from emotional infidelity. And lying happens, and these clandestine meetings. And this endangers and becomes a serious breach of trust in the marriage relationship because the spouse doesn't know about it. And
if they don't know about it, of course, it's that's I'm sure it's signs start to trickle down, though. If one of the spouses is intuitive, perhaps they're going to have an inkling of that, which if that happens, I guess anything can happen. I suspect it could push the other spouse more away. It depends how they approach it. Or if they approach it with understanding and say, hey, let's, you know, go to therapy, maybe that could stop a potential affair.
Right. And I think if the spouse finds out about it at the stage one or stage two that they're discussing, then it's much easier to turn the relationship around, you know, before it becomes more serious and more ingrained and more of a of a devastation, you know, to the marriage relationship. And the secrecy, though, destroys the foundation of honesty and emotional exclusivity in a marriage relationship. Now, Subotnick and Harris talk about stage three, and this is the actual, they call it the dating stage. And in this phase, two people start seeing each other more and more often. They're actually dating, like courting all over again. And they may, you know, go hiking, they may meet for lunch, they may play tennis together. And they're usually fantasizing and longing for each other, even if it hasn't happened sexually. And then stage four is the final stage. This marks the passage from friendship to an extramarital affair. The two people cross the thin line from friendship and emotional involvement into a sexual relationship. And this is really where the most damage, of course, is going to be happening in to the marriage. Now, there's another psychologist, Shirley Glass, that has written a book called Not Just Friends, and she lists three components of an emotional affair that place the marriage at risk. They include emotional intimacy, secrecy, and sexual chemistry. A man and a woman who share their most intimate hopes and fears with each other rather than with their spouse form a powerful emotional bond. And when there is an additional element of secrecy, that connection between the couple becomes further strengthened. And in the final ingredient, the sexual chemistry is added to the mix, then the relationship definitely has entered the danger zone.
So, you know, what's interesting, I've heard this many times, is that with affairs, it's usually not someone wanting some type of sexual type stuff. It's usually some type of emotional need is what I've heard. And why don't you comment on that? Because that seems to stick in my mind quite a bit when I hear these things.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think, you know, I've heard some counselors at times say it has to do with sex. And I don't think it has anything, you know, really to do with sex, you know, 90% of the time. I think it's an emotional connection to another person. I think that, you know, the spouse that is straying has lost that emotional connection with their spouse because, you know, that relationship has been neglected and the communication has failed and they've started to live separate lives and maybe the spark has gone out of the relationship because a relationship or a marriage, it's very much like a garden. You have to tend it regularly in order for it to be maintained. And when it doesn't get tended, then that's when people tend to stray. But I think it has much more to do, like you said, with emotional connectedness, intimacy.
Now, what I'm thinking is that the internet seems maybe to have accelerated at least more availability. Without disclosing if someone's married, I think that's a sort of a problem. So there's a two-sided coin on this one. It's a blessing and a curse, perhaps, the internet. And but also, does with more women, and it's been a while for this, but in the workplace, does that create more opportunity?
I think it does create more opportunities for women. Being that they're more in the workplace now than they were, you know, 25 or 50 years ago, I think that it's natural to develop friendships at work. And sometimes people at work all go together out as a group. And I think that, you know, can have a tendency to contribute to it. But I don't think it contributes nearly as much as some of these, you know, the internet websites that are available today. And, you know, for a lot of people, Facebook may be a harmless kinds of things, but for other people who are wanting contact, you know, with someone else, you know, you hear these. I've heard a lot of these stories where you look up some your childhood sweetheart, you know, and they start communicating, and then they decide they're going to meet, and then next thing you know, the relationship is in trouble.
Yeah, Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, let's talk about some stories I've heard about the internet stuff and some of the tips, not just tips to spot in your spouse, but tips to spot in yourself if you're going down the wrong path. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that after these words.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches. 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Divorce Show starring Dr. Sharon. And we're talking about surviving infidelity. That word, affairs, a word that you never want to hear from your spouse or boyfriend or girlfriend, that if they've just had an affair, because it's probably devastating. And even if they're thinking about it, I think it's devastating. Do you think most people think about it and just 45% do it?
You know, I can't really answer that question, but I think doing a lot of cognitive therapy, I think that if you put your mind to something regularly, then your behavior is going to follow.
That makes sense.
So I think that the more you think about it, the more likely you're going to do something like that.
Yeah.
And, you put your mind, as Joyce Myers will say, if you put your mind on a hot fudge sundae, you think about it long enough, pretty soon you're going to be eating that hot fudge sundae. And, you know, I think it's the same way. I think that the people that, you know, aren't having affairs aren't thinking about it. They're focusing on their marriage and their relationship.
That makes sense. That's a good tip, actually, for people. And if there's something missing in the relationship, look, I'm going to suggest look to you first or go get some therapy going. Because once you're off that track, it could be a track that it's hard to get off of it, I think. It could be addictive, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
And that could be a real problem. So, anyway, as promised, I mean, there's internet stories. I've known people that, I've heard, I guess, and I guess I've known some that are married. But this internet stuff with chat rooms and so on, it may start off innocent. But somehow internet accelerates, I believe, perceived getting to know someone. You really don't get to know them, but I think it accelerates the fantasy.
And it's a fantasy person on that internet because, you know, even with dating sites, you know, a lot of the dating sites say, you know, people say they're not married and they are married.
Yeah.
And so you never really can know a person from being on the internet. And even when you live with them, sometimes you don't really know them because they might have an affair and you would think, oh, my gosh, I can't believe they did that.
And that's horrible when a trust is breached like that.
Yeah,
and,
it's devastating.
And in your experience, when you've counseled people, does it take a long time to regain trust?
It does. And it does take a long time. And, you know, I think partly it depends on the personality of the two people involved and, you know, what the breach was. Was it a one-time fling or was it an ongoing relationship that lasted for 6 months or a year? You know, the longer it was, I think the harder it is for somebody to get over. If it was a best friend, you know, I've had couples come in where, you know, someone cheated with somebody's best friend and, you know, I think that makes it even more difficult to overcome, the trust issues. But speaking of trust, there's an excellent book on redeveloping trust after an affair that I'd like to recommend. And it's by Dr. Ed Delf and Alan and Polly Heller. And Alan Heller used to be a pastor at my church at Living Streams, and it's called Learning How to Trust. And it is about how do you lose trust and regaining it. It's not particularly about affairs, but it does deal with affairs and trust in relationships.
So this could be a really good book if someone is just involved in some type of situation where you don't trust your spouse anymore. And you just don't want to sit back and do nothing. Being proactive is very important, whether you stay with the person or try to heal it. Mm-hmm. And there's many reasons, right, Dr. Sharon, to heal a relationship. Would children be one of the reasons?
I think for a large number of people that I've seen as couples, that's usually the main reason why people want to stay together. It's, you don't hear the main reason being, well, because I still love my spouse, although I do hear that, you know, people often when they come to therapy, they still do love each other. That's why they're there. They want to fix the relationship. But definitely wanting to stay together for the kids is very high on their list, and usually that's what you hear first.
Yeah, and it might be a good reason as long as both can heal from it. But it's got to be devastating. It's got to be really difficult. I mean, it depends on how. Well, let me ask you this: the people that have forgiven this situation, do they have a different special quality to them? Are they, versus someone that under no circumstances will forgive you? I mean, Is it a quality of openness, willing to explore, willing to understand maybe there were, it's never a good reason, but maybe they participated in maybe pushing the person away a little bit. You know, that's never, right. That's not accepting responsibility, I know, but is
right.
there something like that?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, quality of openness and understanding and compassion, I mean, that goes a long way. And being able to forgive someone for an affair. And I think that I've, in general, have found that women have an easier time forgiving affairs than men do.
Now, that's interesting.
Yeah, and
why is that?
I'm not sure I understand why, but it takes men even longer to get over.
They have more pride, maybe?
I think so. I think it's more pride.
Like they think of women as possessions and they...
Yeah.
Oh, that's disgusting.
That old time belief.
I think that could be it, right?
That could be. It's pride, you know, vanity, ego. I don't know. Too much testosterone. But I that's been my experience. But either, whether it's the man that's, you know, had the affair or the woman, it's devastating to both of them. And their needs, the spouse needs to recognize their own part in what drove the other person to do this. And I think the more willing the spouse is to look at themselves as part of the cause, you know, because it takes two to dance. And you know, if the wife is, you know, shutting down emotionally and not, you know, connecting with the husband and maybe avoiding sex and, you know, communicating, then, you know, he's going to be more likely to stray and vice versa. So that those are the kinds of things that you need to look at. Are they having quality time together? Are they, you know, sitting down at meals and really talking to each other, you know, conversing with, you know, more than how's the weather? Are they really sharing the details of their life together? Are they having quality time? Do they have shared, you know, common values and shared common interests? I think that's also really important, because if they don't have common interests, you know, John's playing golf every Sunday, and maybe Mary's going to church, you know. So
yeah.
those things tend to put them in different circles. And the more common interests they have, the more they can strengthen the relationship.
That totally makes sense. And I think... I think that's important. You know, there's a psychologist that's been on the radio for a long time, and I'm not really a big fan of hers, but I am a big fan of certain things. And ever hear Dr. Laura?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I may not agree with her style of communication, but, you know, I'm sure she's good in other areas. But one thing I do admire, I haven't read these books, but she's very pro... you know, pay attention to your marriage, you know, and really even to it almost seemed like she was almost swaying the balance to, you know, don't, you know, if you treat your husband, and she really talks about the husbands being like, if you ignore them and you constantly have headaches and la, 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 you know, that type of stuff,
right.
It may push them away. And she's written some books about that. I haven't read them, but I always thought, oh, that's interesting, you know, and maybe that's good, maybe not, but that's got to be another reason. If someone, one, the husband or the wife, is not feeling appreciated or attended to, that could be an issue.
Absolutely. Everybody has, you know, the need for attention, and you know, they have expectations, and if they fulfill, they are not fulfilled, and those, that need for attention and expectations aren't being met, then definitely it's going to leave room for someone to wander.
So is it too easy these days to just get out of a marriage, or at least emotionally get out of a marriage? It just seems the commitment factor is not as strong as it probably could be.
I agree. I think that as a society, you know, we need to take our marriages more seriously. I think it's too easy in our society to get a divorce and dissolve a marriage. And, you know, marriage, for most people, the intention is for it to be for life. And then, unfortunately, you've got people that have are married more than once, and then there's heartbreak and emotional distraught people, and maybe children in the wake of that.
Well, I'm thinking, let's get your comments on this insight I have. To me, it seems like the more insecure you are, the more that you don't think you're good enough, perhaps the more that you have your identity tied up into some meaning that, let's say you're getting older and you're not as you don't think you're as useful. Those type of people, if they rely on that and they don't know how to generate great self-esteem internally, mm-hmm. and being okay with themselves no matter what age or circumstance, often it seems like they will go out and seek someone who can possibly, at least temporarily, make them feel that way. And that's what I'm talking about, is maybe older guys going after younger women mm-hmm. for the youthful type of, we'll call it, fix. And, of course, it never works.
Right.
It's just an illusion that it works. And also feeling desirable. You know, if you don't feel desirable, you may go out and just find someone that might pretend that you're desirable.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, that definitely makes sense. And it may be a fix for a temporary period, but it is a temporary period.
So the key there is go inward, and I'm sure you do a lot of work with people to look inward, to really look and heal at anything that where people might feel insecure, low self-esteem, not really thinking very much of themselves. And that can go a long way if you can get them healed up on that.
Right, because I think people with really low self-esteem will marry the first person that yeah. comes along and that asks them.
Yeah, which is very sad. And yeah. We do have a dating show.
And they may stay with them for 40 years.
4 years?
40
or,
years.
Oh, 40.
Because if they have really low self-esteem, say somebody that was, you know, a battered child or something.
Yeah, very
then,
sad.
You know, they'll think that nobody else will want them. So they may stay in an unhappy relationship for 40 years.
And all it would take is to go inward and heal some of the voids and other things that are driving your behaviors to poor choices. Yeah, I mm-hmm. totally agree. Why don't we take another quick break? When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Dr. Sharon on surviving infidelity affairs. And it is everywhere. We've got some other great questions coming up. If you want to call in, feel free, 602-296-3632, 602-296-3632, and we'll be glad to talk with you. We'll be right back.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074 to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
And now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins. You have a great firm, a family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory when we started. He always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't yep. have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe. Collins and Collins, great family law attorneys and more.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Divorce Show starring Dr. Sharon from 2 to 3. And we got Joe Collins, a family law attorney from 3 to 4, talking custody today. But right now we're talking affairs. And don't call in. We're not giving affairs out.
We'll take a call in.
But we'll take a call in, but not to request an affair. We're just going to want to heal affairs. We want to make sure people...
What's the phone number?
Yeah, what is the phone number? It is 602-296-3632, 602-296-3632. If you have a question, if you have a comment, because it is big, unfortunately, in society. And I was talking off there with Dr. Sharon just on the break here, and I've been self-employed since 85, so I'm not part of a workplace, but I used to be in corporate America as a CPA and a tax director, actually. And I'll tell you, some of the corporate environments I've been in, I was shocked even back then in the 80s, how many people were, behind the scenes, you know, definitely married, and they were having affairs left and right. And I was just like, oh my, this is unbelievable. I didn't believe it at first till people started hinting, flirting, you know, with me. And I go, are you kidding or what? And they weren't kidding, but I did not take the bait.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of myself on that.
I know there were a lot of affairs going on at several of the hospitals that I worked at. And one year... there was this rumor going around that one of our medical directors was having an affair with, you know, one of the other doctors. And, you know, I just thought that I was pretty naive at the time. I really thought that he should know about it. So I walked up to him one day and said, do you know there's a rumor going around that you're having an affair with such and such? And you should have seen the look on his face. I'm sure he probably already knew it, but, you know, I was pretty naive back then.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Let me ask you this. And they've made movies about this. Let's mm-hmm. say you're a couple and you go out with a lot, you know, double dating with another couple. So the man and the wife are good friends with the other man and the wife, you know. So they're, mm-hmm. They're very close with each other. So, and if you discover, let's say, the man, one of the couples is having an affair, do you tell the wife, you know, the other couple that's so close to both parties? And that's a double-edged sword, because do you betray the guy, you know, that's having the affair, but do you tell the wife who could be suffering and not knowing? What's the answer on that? Have you ever seen that?
There's a movie about that.
I know, with Vince Vaughn.
I can't remember the name of the movie, but I saw the movie. I haven't had that happen, but I would think, you know, it would behoove the spouse to know about it, but if the guy is your best friend, you're probably not, you're really in a catch-22. I mean,
that's a tough one, right?
It's a very tough
decision. I bet it happens a lot.
Oh, yeah. It's an individual decision. You know, they would have to make that on their own, obviously.
I mean, you got both, they're both your friends, and what do you do? I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer. I guess, let's say, if you take it from a moral standpoint, I guess it depends what lens you look through.
Yeah.
If you look through the friendship lens, that's one thing. If you look through a moral lens, I don't know.
I tell them to pray about it.
Yeah, that's probably the best thing. Or just say, hey, stop it. You know, don't
stop it.
Yeah, just. But then when you find out the other guy's going out with your wife, that's a problem. And I think there's probably been a movie about that. I bet Tom knows this movie. Bob, Ted, what was it? Bob, Carol, Ted, and Alice. Remember that long ago? You don't remember that? You remember that?
I remember. I don't remember the movie, but I certainly remember the title.
Yeah. That was probably back in the 60s, and they made movies about sort of weird stuff back then, but sort of a funny movie. But it's really not funny, though, when this does happen.
No, it's devastating.
So the workplace, I think that is creating more opportunities, and also the Internet. I think that's a real, real problem, because what happens on the Internet, there's so many dating sites, right?
Right.
A lot of people, I think you can geographically pick where you want to meet people. And you could pick people out of state.
Right.
So it makes it a little bit easier if that's what you were seeking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, what is this world coming to? We were talking a little bit about that.
I think the Internet has really created a lot more opportunities for people to connect up in the more like the flings, you know, I think it's more likely.
Now, I think there's deeper issues, and one would be if you find you consistently are on the other end of an affair, meaning you're the one not having the affair, but you're always picking people that seem to have affairs, don't you think it would be wise for those people to start analyzing their own selection criteria and their attraction strategies? Because, after all, they're choosing these people.
Yes, definitely they would want to come into therapy to look at, you know, their imago. We talked about that on the second show, I think it was, and their unconscious, subconscious connections with their caregivers in early childhood, and why they keep picking the same people that keep cheating on them.
I know that. Have you seen that a lot in therapy? People that seem to...
I haven't seen that, you know, maybe once or twice, but not a lot, where people keep picking people that are going to cheat on them. No, I haven't.
Now, with therapy, with couples, do you see a lot of people in this regard where one, or even both, have you ever seen both have an affair and they're both coming in?
No.
That'd be interesting.
No, although, you know, one's having an affair now and one had an affair 5 years ago or something like that.
So it's an offset.
Yeah.
Sort of.
But, yeah, I mean, and, you know, the way I do therapy with a couple where one of them has had an affair, sometimes it's just the other partner is involved in pornography or something like that. And actually I had one case about 5 years ago where the person was just having like a phone affair with someone else, never really actually met them, but was constantly texting and having phone calls with this other person.
Oh, wow.
And usually I'll see them each individually for at least one session, maybe two sessions, because I want them to be free to tell me things even without their spouse there. And then after that, I pretty much always do therapy together and help the couple to identify, you know, where the relationship broke down, where did the communication break down, where did the emotional intimacy break down. Always get an idea of, you know, how frequently they are having sex, or if they aren't having sex, that really tells you a lot about the relationship, or, you know, if it's been 6 months or a year, tells you how long the relationship has really been dormant, and start having them date each other, having a date night, having them start, turn off the TV and have a quality conversation over dinner on a regular basis, have a date night, and have, I usually recommend a couple books to them, The Five Love Languages.
Yeah, good book.
I'm blanking on the author's last name here. I have it here, Gary Chapman.
Yeah.
I use that with pretty much every couple that comes in the door. There's a really good test in the back of the book that you can identify your primary and your secondary love language, and that helps you identify whether you need quality time, whether you need affirmations from your spouse, or touch. I mean, there's also gifts, and I'm leaving one out.
Let's see. Gifts, touch, affirmations, time, gifts, touch, and what is that fifth one, Tom?
Some kind of service.
Acts of service.
Okay.
Yeah.
Acts of service. So someone that needs acts of service wants their spouse to, you know, do things for them, help them, you know, maybe cook dinner, clean the kitchen, help around the house, do the laundry, and those kinds of things. Whereas someone that wants, you know, I don't really find too many people that want gifts, really, ever. It's usually quality time and touch. Those are the biggies that I see in my practice. And if that's your primary love language, that means you need that in order for your love tank to be filled. So then I have to teach the other person to learn how to do that particular love language so that their spouse can have their needs filled.
That's right. I seem to hear music. Oh, it's Dr. Sharon's phone, perhaps. It's not the station. The Five Languages of Love is a great, great book. And it's really about how the other person perceives and how they feel about these five things: acts of service, affirmations, time, quality time, gifts, and touch. And most people try to give from their own style. And that doesn't work very often because most people have different styles. So if we had to guess, in fact, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to guess what my top five are. Well, we know in order, though, and what your top five are. And
top
maybe what
five
even Tom.
Love languages?
Yeah, it's always interesting.
There's only five.
I know. But I mean, in
you
order.
Have two. In order, yeah. Please.
Yeah, this is fun. This will be a fun event, and people can start guessing along with us. We'll be right back.
Birum Baum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, Scottsdale. We know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins, you have a great firm, a family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory when we started. He always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe Collins and Collins. Great family law attorneys and more. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is the Divorce Show starring Dr. Sharon. We're talking about surviving infidelity affairs. Wow, that's big in, well, I don't know if it's just America or the whole world. Maybe the whole world. I'm not sure. But we were talking about the five languages of love. Now, why it's so important, and you said, and we'll just re-summarize it, is that everyone has a different style in which how they feel loved, you know, and so giving gifts might be something that people feel loved through receiving gifts, where others might think, you know, maybe affirmation. People feel more attended to or loved by that style. So it's not your style, it's their style that you got to look at. So, Dr. Sharon, what do you think my style is?
Wow.
That's a tough one.
I would be really guessing here, but I think you're a quality time person.
Oh, that's in the top three. That was a good one. It's actually affirmations. Can you believe it?
Okay.
I know that about me. The second is touch. The last one is acts of service. So what does that all mean? Well, if someone was, I would appreciate it, obviously, if someone did an act of service, but it wouldn't mean as much as if it was an affirmation.
There you go.
Is that interesting?
That's right.
So now, let's see. How about you? Should we disclose? I don't even know. I'd have to guess.
Well, I only know what my...
Your first one is?
Top two are because I didn't know that they ordered them, and I don't remember the other. It was a long time ago that I took the test. I definitely know what my primary one is. And
is it time?
It is quality time.
Wow, we've got a winner here.
Yep.
Time.
You got a winner. And
so what does that mean to you then?
What does quality time mean to me?
Yeah, to you.
To me. Well, quality time means that I'm spending time with someone that, and I'm having a conversation at least of what's important to me and hearing what's important to them.
So so it doesn't mean, so the word quality is the key. It's it's not about how much time, but is it profound, deep?
It's quality, right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're having quality time here on the radio.
That's right. We are, Tommy. What do you think of that? Let's guess Tommy's now. It's hard to guess Tommy's. I don't know. We know Tom for a while. I'm thinking, I bet Tom is quality time. Am I right, Tommy? Quality time means a lot to you. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Wow, we did it.
And, you know, that's awesome. And one of my clients brought this up, which I thought was very profound. This was a couple years ago. Said that they believe that whatever your primary love language was what you didn't get in your childhood.
Oh, that's interesting. That very well could.
And it made sense to me, if you didn't get quality time, that you needed more quality time as an adult in your adult relationships, and that would be how you felt love.
You know, it would be nice. Actually, I did a seminar for singles on this, the five love languages combined with neuro-linguistic programming.
Wow.
It was a big hit. We should do a joint seminar on the love language.
That would be great.
Because I think it's so important, right?
I think it's critically important.
Yeah.
It's a great discovery.
It really is. It's such a great book. And it's fairly easy, and it can make... Well, let me ask you, how have you seen in therapy when you recommend this book, how have couples come together even faster, perhaps?
Right, come together faster. And it, and one of the things that a lot of them have done is maybe read it to each other, like right before they go to bed.
Oh, that's sort of cool.
And maybe they read a chapter, and that can be their quality time together.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't know how I would do marriage therapy without this book. I've really, it's become a very important, critical element, and I do think that using this book, I've turned a lot of marriages around in 3 months.
Really? That
even
quickly?
Even if there's an affair going on.
Wow.
Yeah. It's mind-blowing sometimes.
It's a great book. We would highly recommend it. I've read this book many times. So the let's see, the complete title is what?
The Five Love Languages, How to Express Heartfelt Commitment to Your Mate by Gary Chapman.
Well, I'd recommend it. Now, not just if you have a troubled marriage.
Right.
But even great marriages should read this book.
Absolutely.
Even if you're not married, you should read this book.
Right. Even if you're single.
Yeah. Even if you want to stay single. It doesn't matter.
And looking for, you know, quality or just wanting to stay single. Find out what you need in relationships, period.
Because it's about insight about other people. What is their model of the world? Their map of reality. Mm-hmm. That's how you influence people as well. And so that's good to hear that this is such an important part of your practice.
Yeah, it's huge. And, of course, it allows people to build their communication. And I do other communication exercises as well. I have people face each other in, say, folding chairs and express their feelings directly to their mate. So many of them want to talk to the therapist, and I direct them instead to talk to their partner directly and back and forth how they feel about X, Y, and Z. And then I also have them do affirmations to each other in the therapy, and maybe give them homework assignment of doing affirmations at home, 2 or 3 a day, if that is one of their love languages.
So do you find women have it a little bit easier communicating their feelings than men as a general rule?
Yes, as a general rule.
So how do you get men to break through that barrier? Or is that a whole show in itself?
Well, some are more difficult than others, but if they're in a survival mode and trying to save their marriage, believe me, they become motivated.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it motivated out of fear of losing or more of pleasure?
Fear of losing someone they love, yes. So they you know, they'll do the homework, and they for the most part, they are cooperative.
Wow. So it must be rewarding for you to save so many marriages.
It is. Yeah, it is. It's a great gift I've been given to be able to do that.
And it's a great gift that people receive from you. Mm-hmm. And so how do people get in touch with you? That's the real question at this point.
Well, give me a call at 602-334-3776. And I'll be glad to set up an appointment with you. Again, it's 602-334-3776.
Wow. See, that would be, you know, I sort of think everyone should go to therapy anyway.
I agree.
I mean, wellness therapy, whatever therapy.
Goals therapy.
Yeah, everyone needs therapy. And it's not a bad thing. It just means people will get a different perspective. And I think that's very, very important. So call Dr. Sharon, 602-334-3776. That's 602-334-3776. 76. Dr. Sharon, it's always a pleasure. We'll see you next
month. It's always a pleasure for me to be here.
This is fun. You're more than welcome. Stay tuned for the second half of The Divorce Show, starring Joe Collins, Family Law, and he'll be right in at 3.
Awesome.
You have found Arizona Station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hopefully, you'll never have to experience a disaster such as a fire or a flood striking your home or business. But if you do, know there's someone out there who can quickly help you get life back to normal. That someone is ServiceMaster by Disaster Professionals. Just call 602-431-2222, and our professionals will be there to lend a hand. You can be confident knowing ServiceMaster Clean has over 50 years of experience restoring damaged homes and businesses after frightening events such as fires, floods, vandalisms, and other disasters. We can offer services such as emergency cleaning, smoke, soot, and odor removal, in addition to water and fire damage repair. Our solid reputation is the reason insurance companies nationwide know ServiceMaster Clean will get the job done quickly and professionally. Plus, we guarantee to do the work right the first time, or we'll do it over with no questions asked. That's ServiceMaster Clean. We're the company that's first to respond to your call, first to arrive on the scene, and first to guarantee relief. Because delays and hassles are the last thing you need. Remember, 602-431-2222 for ServiceMaster Clean by Disaster Professionals. And get the clean you expect and the service you deserve.
At Beerum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, Scottsdale. We know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins. You have a great firm, a family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory when we started. He always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe Collins and Collins. Great family law attorneys and more.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074. 602-625-3074 to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.